So, Chus, I finally bit the bullet and downloaded TikTok a year after everybody else did. I have to say, it's actually more interesting than I thought. I originally downloaded it, and I've been following all the news about what's going on. I downloaded it because my girlfriend had got on it. I wanted to see videos. And it's, yeah, I will admit there's some really, really good design aspects to it, and there's some really good social aspects to it. I can jump into those if you want.
I think that's more interesting than the side of all the kids are doing it. Why are you doing it? So let's get into the design.
Yeah, so, since we are all about design and technology. So there's a few things that I thought were quite interesting, which is Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, most of these, in order to get content, it's all about your social network. And TikTok asks interests and then just starts pulling content from everywhere to push to you. And the content is so fast and so quick that you can just start scrolling through, but you land right on content right at the beginning. And it is incredibly engaging because you just start, like, if you don't like something, just swipe. Don't like something, swipe. It's really nice in that way. It's a very much like a go, go, go thing. And even if you want to leave a comment on a video, if you tap the comment icon, it's not just the comments come up, but it already comes up with the keyboard. Everything's ready for you to input. So the design of this and the consideration around it has really been about pushing people to interact, which I think is quite beautifully
It's
done.
the opposite of what Snapchat did, and then definitely with their redesign when everybody was like, I don't get it anymore. That almost felt intentional to keep out people who had a more traditional UI view on phones, let's say older people.
Well, I think what Snapchat did that was great is it lands you right on the camera. So Snapchat's message is, tell me about your life right now. And TikTok's messages start consuming immediately. So both of those, I think, are actually really nice because it lands you on something with a purpose, with a point of view, and it tells you to do something. It is an immediate call to action. It's just slightly different, but I think both of them are great. It doesn't just land you on something that you have to say, what do I want to do? What do I want to click? It gives you something.
I think one more interesting aspect of the uniqueness is if you look a little bit at the recent history of social media and posting, let's not go as far back as Facebook, but let's go to Instagram. So Instagram's premise was like, through filters and through other tools, we can help you make your photos look great. And over time, Instagram, I'm not getting into stories yet, but over time, Instagram became more and more of a threshold. You had to be a good photographer. You had to put on nice photos. It had to all look good. Enter Snapchat. You don't need to be a good photographer. Just tell us about your life. Your friends want to see what you're doing, and this is all about socializing. But over time, even Snapchat became kind of like, I'm only going to follow you if you have good content. And yes, I know what my friends are doing. I have other ways of keeping up with my friends. So even Snapchat sort of normalized into having a threshold. What I think TikTok did is it, because it's about you mimicking others, the idea of having to come up with something new and something worthy is removed, and you can actually join the group of people that are doing something. And lots of people are doing the same dance. Everybody's trying to one up the other, but the start of what you need to share is actually not that difficult. You just look at what you like and you riff off of that. And I really like that idea.
I think you brought up something really critical in that, which is the idea that I am building on top of something. So what you said about, I go to Snapchat and then I start or I stop following people that don't have as engaging content. Well, the problem is when you have an abundance or a surplus of content, you're going to have to pick and choose at some point, right? And so you're going to want to pick people who have the most interesting or engaging content, whatever fits your interests. If I do go back to Facebook, this build of the news feed being text and then Instagram being photos and then Snapchat being stories. And what you said, give me authentic stories about your life. I just want to have this view into your life. Then Instagram copied that. But everything was, sort of, well, again, you go back to Snapchat. First thing you land on is that camera. Tell me about your life. With TikTok, you are able to get these groups. And like I've even heard them called TikTok cults a lot, where you build off of each other. And so there's this natural progression of text, photo, video, video stories, then these building videos or these videos that collect things. And I'm blown away by the amount of editing tools that TikTok gives you so quickly to create something that's 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and you're like, that's nice, that's interesting. I want to be part of that.
I think TikTok has done a great job on making mobile creation tools. And you definitely see that there's kind of we're entering the more mature phase of mobile apps in that way. You see Adobe, who now has Adobe Rush, which is a video editing tool on mobile, but Adobe used to only make professional tools, and now all of a sudden they say, no, you can make good good videos right on your phone. If you look at the tools of the DJI drones, DJI, they're actually also quite good at allowing you to film something not that interesting with your drone and quickly edit it into something that looks good.
So let me contrast a little bit with what you said, which is this idea of professional, because I can argue professional is changing, right? Like professional used to be you had to have this video. If you want to make a commercial, I had to have a video crew. I had to do all of this work, this production, this editing. And now if, let's say, Dwayne Johnson, right, The Rock, and obviously I'm picking somebody who's a very easy person to do marketing because everyone follows him, but if he wants to market his tequila, he's just going to go on and film a story about his tequila. And it's going to sell it, right? The difference in professionalism has changed. And you don't have to pick The Rock. You can pick small businesses, but small businesses can create very compelling commercials or marketing information or quote unquote professional material that all you need is a phone. So the threshold or the delta in professional has very much shifted towards, let me see quote unquote quality versus let me see something that reflects my interest and engages me in ways that, I'm interested in. Sorry, I didn't have a better word. I didn't have a better synonym for that.
I think years of high quality, expensive Hollywood production of anything we watch has made us want for more reality. And we've seen reality shows on TV. That's all past because that was still produced. And I think right now we're looking for that reality of, but what do those stars actually really do? Are they really human? And you even see Snapchat style videos now as commercials on TV while we're all in the situation where studios and lots of companies are working from home and it's hard to produce that type of content that we would see produced before. And I think it's super cool to see the TikTok style stuff land on TV and have the stars go onto TikTok and other places to do their job.
Of course, in this case, reality is a bit subjective, right? It's still probably, there's still probably a lens between what is real and what you see, but I like where you're going here. That's the authentic self.
Yeah.
I will tie this back to what we've been saying the last few weeks with problem and demand, right? Last week, we talked all about what's the problem, what's the demand. Clearly, what we just said, text, photo, video, then authentic video, then building on top of this, TikTok saw this ability to engage creators and that everybody could be a creator and you could simplify that ability to create, that there was this drive that everybody wanted to have this. So there's your demand, right? Like the problem is we have all this demand to do these things. There weren't a number of tools, number one, and there's demand to consume content just like YouTube's autoplay feature, like recommended video next, 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 that didn't exist in Instagram and existed somewhat in Snapchat, but all these things that you needed a social network to create. And so here you go. They capitalized on all of that. So you want a great product. They literally looked back at those questions that we were saying and answered everything.
I think it is a great product and I'm super interested to see its future. I see it affecting daily life a lot. I see lots of people on the street practicing their dances, even without cameras. It's really had a big effect on my park visits recently even.
Yeah, so there's a whole other side of this. And I think just given the time, we can go into this in the future, which is obviously the political side and what's going on with, you know, it being owned by a Chinese company, being blocked in India, potentially in the US. I think we can tackle that either next week or an upcoming episode based on what happens. So for this episode, covered the design, covered the problem, covered what they were trying to do and really where this could go.
Sounds good. I think there's a lot more to uncover when we get to our favorite topic of privacy.
Oh, there's a lot there. We can come back to that next week. But for now, I'll catch you later, man.
Bye, man.
Bye.